is that one on to?
Well, it's part of making our programs the most efficient and cost-effective that they can be. Making sure that when we implement green strategies, that we meet multiple mandates, that we achieve multiple objectives, that we get maximum bang for the buck out of the dollars that we spend, and that we're able to meet multiple mandates at the same time. About 2 years ago, the city brought forward guidelines for protecting birds while they're nesting. That brings us to mind the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. It was a really innovative document at the time. And it's being copied all over the place now. You know, it may not be noticed in some in most circles, but you know, in certain conservation circles, the fact the city has that is fairly unique and innovative. We're about to bring forward another document that's before you, and I'm going to turn it over to Mary Coolidge, our assistant conservation director, who's been on point for this. But we're bringing forward bird safe guidelines so that when we build buildings, we can address the number one cause of mortality of birds in the United States. Again, putting us on the cutting edge of conservation and making sure that when we do these kinds of projects, we get maximum bang for the buck. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mary.
Mayor Adams and commissioners, thanks for the opportunity to talk to you this morning. I wanted to let you know about some work that Bob just mentioned. We have received a challenge grant from U.S. Fish and Wildlife, which is a follow-up to the Urban Bird Treaty grant that we entered into with U.S. Fish and Wildlife back in 2003. This effort was a collaboration between the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Portland Parks and Rec, and Audubon Society of Portland to put together a resource document to guide architects who are interested in voluntarily designing to reduce birds striking windows in our city. We've conducted 4 seasons of surveys, and we've documented 37 native species of warblers, hummingbirds, woodpeckers, sparrows that have collided with windows in our downtown Portland area. This document is fresh off the press as of May. We're holding a forum on June 14th at Keene from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. to introduce this document to architects and planners and other interested folks. We would enthusiastically encourage you to join us at that event. And we'd certainly at some point like to come back and give you a full briefing on the document.
What is the date and location?
June 14th, so a week from tomorrow, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Keene headquarters, which is, I believe, 926 Northwest 13th.
13th and
Exactly.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
I look forward to reading it. Thank you all very much. And let me give you your official
Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. All right. Can you please? Good morning, Carla. How are you?
Good morning, Mayor. I'm fine.
Good. You think of this, has the room grown on you at all?
Not much.
Not much. Me either. Can you please call the roll?
Yes. Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Adams?
Here. The quorum is present. We shall proceed, beginning with communications. Can you please read the title for item number 625?
Request of Brendan Cowan to address council regarding parks and recreation dealing with unpermitted vendors.
Mr. Cowan. All right. Can you please read the title for item number 626?
Request of Sarah Hobbs to address council regarding safety for animals and humans when police use horses in a crowd.
Ms. Hobbs.
It's the minute to be speaking.
Welcome.
I've come today to express a severe concern. I have a number of issues of using horses for crowd control. One is that horses, though very well trained by nature, are skittish, and I have seen them at times, you know, tense up, you know, putting concern as well, not only for the humans on the street, but for the officers on the horses as well, out of concern that if they halt, We had an incident earlier this year where a horse did bolt and the officer was thrown and ended up having to go to the hospital to be checked. Thankfully, neither the horse nor the rider were able to hurt. I personally had an experience with a mounted officer that put my safety and the safety of an 82-year-old fellow protester at great risk. When the officer on the horse ordered I, the lady I was with, and four others of us that were with her, helping her to the sidewalk, we did not contest it, we did not say a word, we instantly moved toward the sidewalk. We were moving slowly, though, because we were going at the pace of the elderly woman we were assisting. Before I know it, I got hit. I am now fighting to keep from falling. When I turned, what I saw was it was a mounted officer who had sidestepped his horse and was hitting me, my left hip. I was moving to the sidewalk. I was just not moving fast because I was moving at the pace of the elderly woman I was with. To look at me, you would think I am fine, but as you can see, Mr. Robbie had to assist me up because my balance is very bad. Fortunately, I did not fall, but it concerns me. If they had hit the elderly lady and she did fall, what if she had fallen and broken a hip? Personally, I believe there's a much better use for the horses. I saw recently, I thought this was neat, how the mounted force was used down Pioneer Cordell Square to do a public relations event for the police force. Love seeing the pictures of the excited kids getting to pet the horses. They also, for terror, could be great animals for use for therapeutic riding programs. So I do ask that you consider retiring them as ground control. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Can you please read the title for item number 627?
Request of Monica Jorbe to address council regarding police brutality against protesters on May Day.
Thank you. On May Day, I witnessed widespread violence and oppression against peaceful protesters. What did we do to deserve that? We took to the streets. We impeded traffic. For this, we were attacked. Punches flew onto our faces and our bodies. Bikes were smashed against us, and horses were marched into crowds. People were injured both physically and mentally. The city says that they are responding because we are impeding traffic. The police officers are the ones impeding traffic when they attack us, pin us, and assault us. The time it takes the Portland police to do this is much longer than had they just let us keep moving and pass along. Your excuses are plainly ridiculous, but I'm sure you already know that. When I see the horses being brought into crowds, I have the same feeling of shock and horror as when I see pictures of fire hoses being turned on peaceful protesters decades past fighting for racial equality. Can you see that? This city's treatment of the Occupy protesters is inhumane and shameful. I'm asking you to have a heart. I'm asking you to do unto others as you would have done unto your family, your friends, and yourself. These are principles instilled in us from an early age, yet this basic respect for others is tossed aside in this city with the Portland government and the police bureau. We are in the streets because our government no longer represents the interests of the people, so we are making our voices heard. I am here today because Portland's government no longer represents the interests of the people, so I'm making my voice heard. That is my responsibility as a citizen. It is your responsibility as our mayor to work in the best interests of the people, not the corporations. This world we live in looks shocking and increasingly like book 1984. Please read that book, look at that message, and see that that is becoming our reality. Then ask yourselves if you want to be the puppets that take responsibility for imposing that oppression onto others. Does that make you proud? You are not only hurting us, but you are also hurting yourselves. Martin Luther King Jr.'s principles of nonviolence teaches us that evildoers are also victims and are not evil people. Together we can create a new world, one that lives up to the ideals we were taught as kids, a world in which we truly do have freedom of speech, press, and peaceful assembly. And you have the power to stand up and make that happen. Take a stand against the bullies above you, no matter how big, bad, and scary they appear. We have. Join us.
Request of Celeste Lewis to address council regarding outdoor school.
Ms. Lewis? All right. Can you please read the title for item number 629?
Request of Autry Liggett to address council regarding park permits, dog fines, and public comment at meetings.
Welcome.
Adams, Commissioner. I just wanted to make a few comments, actually really kind of just complain about a few things, and hopefully you guys might be able to address them. One is park permits for food vending. If you don't know, once you get a park permit to, say, sell burritos, tacos, hot dogs, whatever you want to sell, you have a monopoly or exclusive rights to only sell that particular food item, and no one else who would also like to sell the similar food item is allowed to do so. I think that's a little bit nuts, because what that allows somebody to do is sell a lesser quality product, maybe at a higher price, without any competition. It's a really, really simple solution in that you could just simply allow more people to sell the same product. I mean, you don't want at a park everybody selling hot dogs, but what it does is, I don't know if you've been to like Rome, Paris, or whatever, if you're at a popular tourist site, the people around those areas don't have to sell quality food because people can just come in and go out and there's no real responsibility. Similarly, when someone has a monopoly at the parks on a particular food item, it doesn't force them to sell any quality products and they're allowed to charge whatever they want. So by introducing something very small, like competition, into the whole process of park permits, I think it would help a lot of people out. Secondly, I know this isn't really your purview, but I figure you have this way to do something about it. Dog fines in public parks, if you have your dog off leash, I'm not sure if you're aware, but it's $150, and I think that's just absolutely outrageous. $150 is a lot, especially if it's a first-time offense. So you're walking your dog, you don't know if it's an off-leash park or not, you just stop. It's not, hey, here's a warning, hey, here's a $25 fine, it's here's a $150 ticket. And $150 is for a dog off leash is just, I think it's absolutely crazy. I don't know if other people agree, but that's totally nuts for, again, first time offense. Another thing, I'm just rattling off, parking spots around town, like our 90 minutes Pankhurst Park, they're great. However, you guys don't have prices on what it costs to park there. It's 90 minutes, and once you insert your card, you can kind of see what you're going to pay. But for example, I came today, put in $1.50, but I'd get a little more time than I got. Now, for $1.50, I could pay a park at ParkSmart and get an hour. And instead, on the streets, I paid $1.50 and got, I think, 45 minutes. So this is something really, really small, but again, it's like, hey, let's just have prices on the meters so we know what we're paying for, you know, before. Because once you start dropping in quarters, it's like, oh man, I only got 10 minutes for, you know, 50 cents. Like, I just think that's nuts. So again, something small, but I think you guys can do something about it. That'd be great. Thank you, sir.
All right, we've got the consent agenda. Does anyone have any items to pull from the consent agenda?
We have item 645.
Anything else? Charlie, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. The consent agenda is approved. We have a very special 9:30 time certain. Can you please read item number 630?
Rename the University Park Community Center as the Charles Jordan Community Center.
I'd like to recognize Commissioner Nick Fish.
Thank you, Mayor Adams and colleagues. I'd like to ask Michelle Harper and Mike Abate to come forward. And before I introduce this matter, could we suspend the rules and express the sense of the House about being joined by Charles Jordan, former City Commissioner Charles Jordan? Dion Jordan, his son. Dion, if you could please come forward. And I have a brief introduction to this wonderful resolution. It is my great pride today as the Parks Commissioner for the City of Portland to ask the Council to approve a proposal to rename the University Park Community Center in honor of former Commissioner and Parks Director Charles Jordan. As many of you know, Charles Jordan served our community, our city, for over 30 years. He was the first African American to be elected to city office. He was the force behind Portland landmarks like Pioneer Courthouse Square, Delta Park, the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center, and so many more. And the renovation of many of our center, of our community's most beloved community centers, including the University Park Community Center. Charles Jordan is known for his collaborative leadership and his ability to eloquently explain the importance of parks and recreation to all of our communities. He is especially known for a saying that parks and recreation is more than fun and games. Perhaps you've heard him say that. He understood, you might. He understood early in his career of public service that parks and recreation programs provide safe places for our children and our families to play, to come together, but perhaps even more important, to build community. Last year, I asked a group of distinguished community leaders, co-chaired by Michelle Harper and David Judd, to suggest a fitting tribute for all that Charles Jordan has done for the city of Portland. Today, we are excited to present this community-led proposal and ask for your support in honoring one man's incredible legacy to our community. This proposal was reviewed and recommended by a renaming committee composed of representatives from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, the Oregon Historical Society, the Parks Board, Portland Parks and Recreation, and my office. We have received many letters of support from organizations, respected organizations in our community. I'm going to pass out a packet to my colleagues that have a number of them, including Home Forward, the Albina Ministerial Alliance, the African American Health Coalition, the National Conservation Fund, and I'm also pleased to support that to announce that the Portsmouth Neighborhood Association Board unanimously approved this request. Michelle Harper, Mike Abate, and Charles Jordan's son, Dion Jordan, are here today to share a little more about the proposal. But first, it's my honor to recognize Parks Director Mike Abate of Portland's Gold Medal Park System, who's going to say a few words. Mike?
Thank you, Commissioner Fish, Mr. Mayor, members of council. This is an auspicious occasion. As you know, we are the best park system in the United States. And that didn't just happen. Former Director Charles Jordan and Commissioner Charles Jordan laid the groundwork and paved the way for this great national honor. In addition to facilitating the greatest park system in the United States, Director Jordan and Commissioner Jordan are well loved by parkies, by generations of Portland Parks and Recreation employees who came to respect his leadership style, his passion for people, and his passion for places. As well, as I travel around the country and talk to individuals in the parks industry, Charles is so well known and so respected professionally for a lifetime of service and brilliance in leadership. And personally, the man is very inspiring to me, and as the latest Director of Parks and Recreation, I'm absolutely humbled to follow in his footsteps. With that, I'd like to introduce Michelle Harper, the co-chair of the of the committee that put together the nomination.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I thank you for the opportunity to come before you today. At first, I want to acknowledge that this is a blessed and extraordinary day because we are honoring someone who is a servant leader, someone who has led an exemplary life driven by his faith to do the extraordinary things that he's done throughout his life. I want to acknowledge my committee members. No one does this work alone. My co-chair, David Judd, Harry Arbach, Reverend T. Allen Bethel, Karen Loper, Bob Schultz, former City Commissioner Mike Lindberg, Palmer Robinson, and Anna Street. I'd also like to acknowledge the exemplary work from Parks and Recreation staff. This has been such a joy to be able to get here on this day to honor someone who we know has done so many amazing things for the city. Charles Jordan is a passionate, visionary leader who has inspired thousands of professionals in parks and the conservation movement. He received his BS degree from Gonzaga University in education, sociology, and philosophy. He was an officer also in the U.S. Army. In 2001, he was awarded an honorary doctorate of law degree by the University of Vermont and England Today Fellowship. He, as being the first African-American elected official that was appointed in 74, and after his appointment in 1976, and elected in 80 and subsequently 1984. As his tenure as an elected official, he was the fire commissioner for 2 years, police commissioner for 5, and parks commissioner for 3, and served as Austin Parks and Director for 5, and returned to Portland in 1989 as our beloved parks director for 14 years. Under his leadership as the city commissioner, he was noted for his innovative and unconventional approaches to problem solving. He was the first commissioner to get the assignment of the police department. He was also the first to the police auditing commission that you now know within the police bureau to take a look at how police is providing its services. Also under his tenure as being a city commissioner as well, he was the first to create a program called Training 2 that was designed as an apprenticeship program to recruit women and minorities, and I understand there's going to be a new fire chief that's going to be appointed as the first woman. That's extraordinary. Charles spent the early part of his life in segregated rural Texas, unable to enjoy the basic freedoms of his white peers. During his childhood, he lived on a reservation surrounded by children who were Black, Latino, and Native American. They all played together without prejudice. It's this experience that has shaped the person that he is and the passion for social justice, to be the voice for those who have no voice or want to be able to be involved in government, to be able to be involved in their communities. These experiences shaped his legacy of building community and supporting children and families, not only within this Portland community, but across the nation. Charles has served 3 presidents, President Reagan under Portland, under the Outdoors Commission. He has also served President Clinton and also President Bush. He's always said, you know, we're in the business of crime prevention. We're in the business of supporting children and families and building community. We have thousands of young people out playing on our courts, in our fields, and in our parks and playgrounds. They are doing things quite not as usual. They are not concerned about their backgrounds or where they come from. They're on a team. They're all one unit. They're learning about values. They're learning about self-esteem. They're learning about how to get along. They're learning about pathways to their life and decisions that they're going to make at a later date. He used to say that Parks and Recreation is kind of the silly games that we made up are the kind of the sugar that makes the medicine go down. Kids learn those value systems and things that shape their life through those games that they play, those experiences that they have within our staff when they come encounter. Another what we call Jordanism is what people don't understand, they won't value. What they don't value, they won't protect. And what they don't protect, they will lose. Charles was the first African-American to lead an extraordinary organization, the Conservation Fund, which is one of the largest environmental agencies in the nation. They have been responsible for protecting millions of acres of land across the nation. And that in itself is extraordinary. So his mission was, it started here as being home, but it broadened the base across the entire United States. And as Mike said, that there's not a person that you would not encounter across the nation that doesn't know the work that Charles has done. as being a city commissioner, but also as being a parks commissioner as well. He's left his footprints all over the city, whether it's Pioneer Courthouse Square, the Children's Playground up at Washington Park, the new home for the Children's Museum that's up at the old Omsey site, the wonderful renovation of Matt Dishman Community Center, East Portland Community Center, and Southwest Community Center. He was the founder of the Interstate Firehouse Cultural Center. There are so many things I could go on, potluck in the park. He was the ultimate collaborator because he did see us as more than fun and games. He realized that in these challenging times that Parks and Recreation couldn't do it all, but we could come together as a family to be able to support children and families, to be a healthy, vibrant community. And that's all that every city wants to do, is to aspire to be able to help its citizens. He broadened the agenda of the environmental movement and land conservation to make it more inclusive. His groundbreaking approach to putting people, particularly people of color, at the heart of the conservation movement is a blueprint that's being utilized today. He made a difference throughout the country and throughout Portland. University Park has held a very special place in his house, in his heart. The facility was a relic of Vanport. It was a community that was lost to flooding when the dike broke during the Columbia River during the early 1940s. Vanport was a low-income community where people of color lived, worked, and played together. Unfortunately, the time was not good to the community center, which formerly was an old army barracks. And there were people who told Charles that this facility needed to be bulldozed, it had a leaking roof, the floors were warped, there were holes in the ceiling, we had buckets catching water during the rain. But he went and talked to the staff and he said, you know, this is a diamond in the rough. And of course, no one probably believed at the time because you could hear the plop, plop of the water, and you see the holes in the walls. But he was a firm believer that this place was going to be the crown jewel of the park system. And he believed it beyond measure because there were some challenges going before the city council trying to get money and funding to support that project. They just didn't understand that why did we want to put the money of investment into this facility. And he was a person of faith and he just stayed the course. He was unmovable and he was unshakable. He had convinced the staff to go on this journey with him. He convinced the community to go on this journey with him, that this facility, we were going to be able to turn it around. And lo and behold, we started to get some community development dollars, and we also were very successful in passing a very successful bond measure. And I encourage you, if you have not seen that facility now, it is the crown jewel of our park system. It's an amazing place where you see a diversity of seniors and people from different cultures and all walks of life that are recreating and learning things and teaching each other things, and it has a state-of-the-art community center with a computer lab, and it has a wonderful gymnasium, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful place, a gathering place. And he saw parks as places where people should connect, because everything is connected, everything is all relative, and that's his motto. I just want to say one last thing about him as far as how he treated his staff. He treated his staff as family. He saw the good and the talent in each one of us and motivated us to levels of achievement that was beyond measure. We never referred to ourselves as just having a job. It was more of a mission or a calling. It was more than that because we were helping the citizens of Portland. We were enriching their lives. We were in the human development business of trying to help people live a better life, helping students and children to learn the pathways of life that they should change, that they should take to have a good life. So it gives me great pleasure and honor. It is with much respect that I ask you, and on behalf of all Parks and Recreation staff and this community and the nation, that you honor him the way it should be deserved, that you give him this honor of renaming University Park Community Center for Charles Jordan Community Center.
Thank you very much, and it's now my pleasure to introduce Charles' son, Deion Jordan. Deion.
Thank you. Mayor Sam Adams and the council, I am Deion Jordan, Charles' only begotten son in whom he's well pleased. but not as pleased as I am for all the accomplishments and who he is. I won't even try to talk about his accomplishments and what he means to the city. For one, I probably couldn't do it justice because growing up, he's never really been Commissioner Charles Jordan to me or Parks Recreation Director. He's always been Dad. And growing up, I've always known that there's something special about Pops, only not because I see him shaking hands with presidents, not because of him running for city council and, you know, and the big hoopla around that, but just around the way that people would react to him when they saw him at the grocery store, that I knew that he was something special. I don't know what it was like for the disciples walking with Jesus, but it had to be something like walking with Pops. People just going up there, crying, hugging them, saying thank you. And I used to just wonder, you know, what was it about Pops? You know, it was more than him standing 6'7" and that wonderful smile, but really how much he cared about people. So at an early age, I realized that I had to share my father with the city of Portland and the nation a lot. But one thing I did want to say before I left was, in all the sharing, all this, and all me realizing something special about Pops, let me say one of the things that really speaks pretty loud is he sat on city council just like when he was city commissioner, and I remember like now you can see it on TV, and I remember being 7 years old and seeing him on TV and thinking to myself, I had a small question I had to ask Pops, and so I called him while he was in council, and the secretary went and tapped him on the shoulder. And I could see him being tapped on the shoulder while I was on the phone. And he came around and he answered the phone. And I said, Dad, are you busy? And he said to me, son, I'm never too busy for you. And so one of the things he's always done, he's always took time for other people. And so since I've had to share my father for the past 40 years with 41, okay, with everybody else. What a greater place to share my father than at a community center, because that's what he represented. He represented the community, he represented the people, and I think it's a wonderful choice, the UPCC, and as a family member and a son, we're just honored and touched for the consideration.
Thank you very much. Thank you all very much. Carla, is anyone signed? Would anyone, you may return to your seat. Would anyone like to testify on this matter?
We have a public ceremony scheduled for July 22nd, which is a Sunday. It'll run from 3:30 to 6:30. We expect a very large turnout, and there will be a lot of speeches. Today, I think the idea was to make a very focused presentation and save the chance to really tell Charles how much we love and respect him for the event on the 22nd.
All right, Carla, can you please call the vote on the resolution?
Fish?
Well, I want to begin this morning by thanking Michelle Harper for being first among equals in this endeavor. Without her tenacity and leadership, we would not be here today, and I will tell you that while she makes it look easy, a renaming exercise actually is pretty complicated under our code, as Harry Auerbach will attest. And so, Michelle, not only for all of your many years of service to the city as an employee, but now to your service to our great city in helping us honor a beloved leader. Thank you. To David Judd, former deputy director of the Parks Bureau, who has also worked tirelessly to make this day happen, and who co-chaired our committee. David, many thanks. To all the members of the committee, I was an ex officio member of the committee, which means I was a fly on the wall. The afternoon we spent reviewing the legacy of this great man and all the various opportunities to honor him was one of the highlights of my public career. And it was a beautiful thing to see people that had worked with him, admired him, loved him, come together unanimously around a proposal, and that probably doesn't happen very often, but it was unanimous that we renamed University Park Community Center. I want to thank all the other people that are here today, all the friends and family, supporters, community leaders, parkies, the extended family of Charles Jordan who have been there, who are part of his success as a leader and who continue to help us be successful in the parks. Thank you for your service. And to Dion Jordan, who was conspiring with this commissioner quietly to help make this happen, I really enjoyed getting to know you better. and I see so much of your father in you, and it's been an honor to build and deepen that relationship. To my colleagues, the next time you're in the New Columbia and you're looking around, imagine for a moment what we are building as a community. In the middle of the New Columbia, which by the way was the old Columbia Villa, but now with this council's support is, and through a Hope 6 development, is a new place of hope and opportunity. And in the middle of that park is, the middle of that community is a park named for Gladys McCoy, who was also a first, and who served with great distinction for 8 years as a county chair. Across the street from that park is a village market, the first grocery store in that community. Down the street is the Janus Community Garden, the first extended garden in that community. There's a school named for Rosa Parks that is inspiring young children who go to elementary school every day, and there's a Boys and Girls Club attached. And next door, there's University Park Community Center. And on July 22nd, it will carry a new name when we officially unveil the sign, naming it the Charles Jordan Community Center. What is exciting for me is that as we are rebuilding that community and providing new opportunities for people who have historically been left behind, young people who go to Rosa Parks Elementary School at the end of a long day will move seamlessly into a community center named for Charles Jordan. And just as they learn about the wonderful legacy of Rosa Parks in breaking down barriers in our country, they will learn about Charles Jordan's life and legacy. And we would intend to not only put some of his great quotes on the walls, but there'll be a place where his picture and his life story is told, so the future generations of Oregonians will be able to know who he was and what he did. I got one email along this process from someone who said, well, I hope this means that if you put his name on it, you will never do anything inappropriate with that building. So let me make a commitment for this council and future councils. No building carrying your name, sir, will ever cease to be a cornerstone of our system. And as long as it carries your name, we will have and fund a community center in the heart of North Portland, proudly, for future generations. So, if I may close, Director Abate talked about the gold medal we won last year. I like to say it was 160 years in the making. About 160 years ago, two gentlemen named Lounsdale and Chapman donated land to the city, which formed the first two parks. In 1903, a guy named Olmsted wrote a report in which he laid out a vision for what our system could become. For the next 100 years, Portlanders invested in that system, supported that system, built that system out. But ultimately, it was the leadership of this city that brought it to its gold medal status. I believe it is fair to say today that over the 30 years of public service of this one man, no one has meant more to our system, and no one is more deserving of recognition for the gold medal that we now all proudly enjoy. So today, in this council chambers, with our action, we honor a great man, and we say humbly thank you for your service. And future generations of Portlanders and Oregonians will honor you each and every time they use the Charles Jordan Community Center. Mayor and my colleagues, thank you for the opportunity to present this today, and I'm very proud to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, thank you, Charles Jordan, for your service to our city, your leadership as a commissioner, as a parks director, and as an upstanding citizen. I really appreciate the answer marks, and it makes me wonder about my daughter too, who's kind of grown up with her dad being a commissioner, and she's not at the point, I think, of being able to articulate how that feels, but she does, hopefully she's proud of me, as I'm proud of her, and as your dad is proud of you, you're proud of your dad. So it's a real pleasure. As when I was parks commissioner, I had the pleasure of dedicating the new University Park Community Center. All the improvements that were funded by voters in the bond measure came to fruition during my tenure as Parks Commissioner. It is a great center, and it's truly a gem, and one that is befitting to be the name, or to be named, the Charles Jordan Community Center. So thank you all. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, one of the things that I've recognized about Charles is that he's understood the difference between change that looks good and change that is good. And I followed your career for a long time. I used to work for you as a firefighter when you were the fire commissioner. And what I recognized about you is that you fought for change that was good and not that just looked good. And I'm glad Michelle mentioned training too. There's a lot of people in this room who don't remember training too. But I do, and Training 2 was the most successful program prior to the apprenticeship program that was implemented in the 90s in hiring people of color. And so people like, I think you remember people like Bill Ladd, I think you remember people like Elsie Gay, Bill Kendricks, all African American people I worked with, Bob Iwamoto. All who have now served their entire careers due to Training 2 and retired, and are proud retired former firefighters. And interestingly, in the 90s, when we were working with a council that was more interested in change looking good and actually being good, I went into the archives and pulled the old Training 2 manual and the lesson outlines. And I came, if we look in the archives, we'll find me testifying before the council sometime in 1994, urging that the council adopt a program that we call the apprenticeship program, which exists to this day, which was built on your Training 2 concept, which has subsequently produced more women and minorities than ever in the history of the Portland Fire Group. So thank you for that program. Thank you for what I consider to be amongst the best service of any commissioner in the history of the Portland City Council. It is with a lot of pride that I sit here and find myself, after having been an employee of yours and then a successor of yours as fire commissioner, to be able to vote for this resolution. Aye.
Fritz.
Commissioner Jordan, you were a pioneer in promoting equity in our city, and I really appreciate the way that you spoke for those who had no voice and provided basic services, including the wonderful service of community centers and parks services for everyone. I'm very happy that we're renaming this community center, where we had one of our budget forums just a couple of years ago. So it has been a center of our city. Despite its geographic location in North Portland, it's a place that people come from all over the city, and I very much appreciate your work establishing it. Thanks to Michelle Harper and the committee for your work on this, and to Commissioner Fish for doing the community outreach to make sure that everybody was okay with it, and indeed that then invited so many folks to come in and agree that we want to do this honor for one of our great commissioners, who was truly a servant leader on the council, who spoke for the community. Thank you for all of a lifetime of service. I'm very proud to vote aye.
Adams?
Well, my colleagues have said it very well, but let me underline my thanks for the years of fantastic service and it continued after your retirement from official public life, all the good work that you've done here in Portland since then, but nationally as well, as Michelle talked about. You've given me wise counsel over the years, and I very much have appreciated it. I know that there are lots of others who have had the benefit of your wise counsel that often includes good, very, in that great voice of yours, tough questions presented in the most honorable way, or in the most, how should I say, easy way, but good, tough questions. So I want to thank you on behalf of city government. I want to thank you on behalf of everyone you've helped, and I want to thank you personally as well. This is a great honor. Aye. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Everybody squeeze in.
Act like you like each other.
Very want to.
All right.
You're not really important. You're not really important.